Morning. Great to be here today. I was expecting there to be a whole lot of rain this morning. Weatherman was wrong again. So I'm grateful that we've got a nice day out there today. And, of course, I'd still be grateful we could be here even if it was pouring down rain. How about you? Amen. It's just great to be together. And we have been studying on really looking at experiencing God. And the things that we've been looking at have really been a lot of these things of ideas and stuff that I've been getting and taking from a book by Henry Blackaby and Claude King called Experiencing God. And the idea behind this is really that what we're trying to do is build a relationship with God. And relationships come through experience, not just simply through knowledge. And we've said all along that, you know, you can know a lot about a person and never really know that person. And so the idea here is building a relationship through our experiences that we have with God and recognizing those experiences for what they are. And then being able to, as witnesses for Jesus, to be able to go out and share our experiences with other people, to let them know what God is doing in our lives. Most recently, over the last few weeks, we've been focusing on a part of this study that really looks at seven realities of experiencing God. And so far, we've talked about the reality number one is God is working around you. Reality number two, God is pursuing you in a love relationship. And then God is inviting you to join Him in His work. This morning, we're going to look at reality number four that says God is speaking to you. Okay? And God speaks to us in a lot of different ways, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How is God getting His messages through to us? Okay? And so as we look at this morning, be thinking about the ways that God is communicating His will for us, say, in this world that we live in, as we've been talking about. Remember, it's God's work. It's not ours. So it's all about finding out what God wants us to be doing. Well, when we talk about God speaking to us, the first thing that we've got to understand is we've got to look at the spokesperson. Who is the spokesperson? When God is doing this speaking, who is it that He is speaking through? Well, first of all, we need to understand that God speaks to us through His Son. The reading that was given to us as we began this morning, Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. Now, as we talk about this idea of Jesus, that's who He's talking about, His Son Jesus, being the spokesperson, He speaks to us through His Son. Well, then the question has to be, well, how does He do that? Okay, how is that happening? Is Jesus coming down and sitting on our shoulder and going, okay, here's what I want you to do today, Russ? No, that's not happening. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We need to first of all understand, okay, He speaks to us through His Word. Okay? John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing has been made that has been made. You see? In Him was the light of life. See? If you go down to verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, and the Word, that is, Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. You see, here's what John really wants us to understand about that. God had a message for mankind. And in order for us to understand that message, to be able to get the message, to receive the message, He sent His Son with the Word. That Son became the Word, or the message that God has for us. It's a message of salvation. And God sent His Son here, that Son who became flesh and lived and dwelt among human beings so that he could deliver the message that God wanted us to have. Okay? God spoke to us through his Son. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. So we have this Word, the Word of God. In John chapter 8, by the way, Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about his Word. Okay? Look at what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4 says. Verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active. I like that statement. Okay? Because what it tells us here is that this book that we have is not just a book, but it is the Word of God, and that Word is not just something of ancient history, but it's something that is alive and it is active in our lives today, if we will so allow it to be. He says the Word of God is living and it's active. Okay? And then he says it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. The Word of God, it's not only a living thing, and it's active in our lives, but it cuts deep within us. And literally, it can open up our lives. You remember the story of Jesus at the well, at Jacob's well, and the woman of Samaria comes to him, and they're talking, and Jesus is basically opening up this woman's life before her eyes. See? Remember what it is that she said to the people of the village when she went back. John chapter 4, come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? See? That's what the Word does. It opens up our lives for us to be able to see what's really there. See? And so in that way, yes, it cuts. And it cuts clear to the bone. Okay? So that nothing is hidden at all. That's how powerful and how strong God's Word is. It judges even the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Okay? So when we think about this spokesperson, that is Jesus and His Word, that is living and active within our lives, to open up our lives and to show us what we need to do, what we need to change, what we need to work on, what we need to overcome. It exposes those things to us so that we can draw closer to God in our relationship with Him by living more closely to Him. The psalmist in 119 verse 105 says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You see, it is the Word of God, first of all. It is that spokesperson, Jesus, okay, who brings us the message that God wants us to know and to hear so that we can live our lives more closely to Him. Okay, well then, we've got this messenger, that is the spokesperson rather, Jesus, who's given us His Word. Okay? Well, how does it actually work in our lives? We just read these words and somehow they're just supposed to go, oh, okay, everything makes sense to me. You know, I don't know about you, but I have not found that to be true. And I've been studying this for 30-some years. And I've not found it to be true that I can just simply open it up and read it and go, okay, I got it all together. Not happening, folks. Not for me. It's not happening. Okay. There's got to be something else that's at work here. And I believe that it is. I think it's what I refer to as the leader that is within us. The leader that's within you. The leader that is within me. Look over in Galatians chapter 5 with me for just a moment. And let's talk about, this is kind of a sensitive topic here. Okay? Kind of a sensitive topic, because what we're talking about is the Holy Spirit. Okay? The leader that is within you. Look at what he says beginning in verse 16. This is chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Does that sound familiar at all? You see, to me, it sounds like spiritual warfare. There's a war going on that every single one of us is involved in. And it's a war between the sinful nature and the Spirit within us. You see, let's continue on. Verse 18, but if you are, here's the word, led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Led by the Spirit. Go down to verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Wow. You are led by the Spirit. You see, someone says, well, wait a minute, Russ, how does that happen? And my answer is, I don't know. I don't know how he does it. But I believe that he does, because that's what the Bible says. He leads us. How does it happen? I don't know. You see? It doesn't make, as Brother Terry Rush said, wrote in his book, it doesn't make any earthly sense how he does it. But that's the point. It's not supposed to make earthly sense. It makes all kinds of heavenly sense. I just don't know what that is yet, because I'm not in heaven. You see? So right now, what I have to do is accept that what it says, that's exactly what's happening. He is leading me. Now, you know, again, make sure we understand a couple of things. We're not talking about the ability to do miracles. We're not talking about new revelations. Everybody hear me say that? I don't want anybody going out of here saying, oh, you know what Russ is preaching now? The Holy Spirit's speaking to him and he's got all these, no. We're not even going there, because that's not happening. We don't need any new revelations. We got the revelations right here. What I need, and probably what you need too, is the Spirit to help me understand these things more fully. And then to live these things more fully in my life. Thus having the Spirit, that leader within me, to guide me and to show me how those things are supposed to be happening in my life. How do I accomplish this? How do I forgive someone that has hurt me so deeply? How do I do that? Mechanically, I know what it says, but you know what? I need strength within inside of me to help me to actually do that. Because I don't have it within me on my own to do it. And were it not for the Spirit's power in my life, I wouldn't be able to. Okay? The Holy Spirit living within us and guiding us and leading us. Look over in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Here Paul says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Look at this next statement. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. If, how? By the Spirit. Okay. And for those of our brethren who insist that the Holy Spirit does not work outside of the Word at all, and He does not live and dwell within us, I'm sorry, but they are wrong. See? They're wrong. And they're missing out on that leader within them, and what they're trying to do is to do it on their own. And it's not happening. God gave us His Spirit to live and to dwell within us, to lead us the way that He wants us to go. And it is then by the Spirit that we're able to put to death the misdeeds of the body. You see, if that was up to me, I know what it says here. I know what the Bible says about how I'm supposed to do certain things. But if it weren't for the Spirit, I wouldn't be doing those things. Because I don't have it within me to be able to do them on my own. If I could, think about this, okay? What do I need God for? If it's all just a matter of reading the book and knowing what it says and then doing it, what do we need God in our lives for? Why do we bother to pray to Him and ask Him to help us? And then turn around and say, well, He doesn't work that way. Well, isn't that ridiculous? I believe it is. See, because He's got His Spirit living within us to guide us and to help us to do the things that He has told us to do. You know, I've got some notes here that I typically use when I'm preaching. It's basically an outline, and I've studied all week and kind of prepared these things and so forth. But I promise you that 90% of what I share with you, including the things that I come up with on these notes, it doesn't come from here. Okay? It doesn't come from here. I'm not that smart, folks. I know some of you might be disappointed in hearing that, but I'm not that smart. Okay? I don't just come up with this stuff on my own. There's got to be some other explanation for it. And the only one that I know of is the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And even as I follow my notes and I'm sharing things with you, there are things that I hadn't even thought of as I've been preparing this lesson that just somehow comes out. How's that happen? If it's not the leader that is within me, that's guiding me and helping me. Now, again, make sure you understand, He's not giving me any new revelations. It's not what I'm talking about. Okay? But it's understanding, and it's things that help me to be able to share with you and explain things to you better than what I could ever come up with on my own. See, I believe that's the Spirit that is the leader that is within us that God has put there, so that He communicates with us in that way. He speaks to us in that way to guide us and to show us what He wants us to do and how He wants us to go. Okay? And to help us to understand those things. And then finally, we look at this whole thing in terms of another way I think that God speaks to us is through our circumstances. Circumstantially speaking, in other words, okay? All right? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, look over in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Look at what Paul writes right there. Interesting comment that he makes here. He says, "Be joyful always, pray continually," and then this one, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Well, okay, I get the part about being joyful always, even though sometimes in certain circumstances it's difficult to find some joy, isn't it? But yet he says, be joyful always. So I always try to look for, you know, the good in things and so forth, and pray continually. My goodness, we've been talking about that for the last year and a half, haven't we? But then there's that give thanks in all circumstances. Well, you know what? There are some circumstances that we could find it very difficult to be thankful about, aren't there, in our lives? But yet, He tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Why is that so? Well, I think it's because God is speaking to us through our circumstances. In other words, it's those experiences that we've been talking about, you see. The experiences or the circumstances that we have in life that God uses to teach us, that God uses to bring us along, that God uses to put us where He wants us to be and so forth. That God uses those circumstances to teach us and to guide us. And so as we look at all the different circumstances, even the difficult ones, we recognize that God is using that situation, that circumstance, to teach me something, to guide me, to put me where He wants me to be. Okay? Even those difficult ones, you see, I think those are the things that we grow through the most. It's the difficult things. You know, a lot of the good things that have happened to me in my life, you know, I can honestly say I haven't learned as much from the good things that have happened to me in my life as I have from the bad things. I think it may be just simply because I enjoy the good things so much I'm not maybe paying as much attention. How about you? You say? But when the bad things are happening, when the difficult circumstances, when I'm in the middle of those, I'm paying attention. God has my attention. See? And those are the things that I have learned the most from. And thus, therefore, those are the things that I can really, truly be thankful for, those situations. Now, it may not be when I'm in the midst of it that I'm necessarily thankful of that moment, but I've learned to be thankful about those circumstances because of what they have taught me and where they have brought me to be. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, how God speaks to us through our circumstances. And many of you know this already. I've talked about it several different times over the past, but it really has to do with how I came about being the minister here in this church. See, it's a great example, I think, because, you know, many of you know when, you know, the church here, you know, you had a part-time minister, Bill, who was kind of filling in, you know, until the church could find a minister. And my understanding is, you know, he came back and it was supposed to be a temporary thing, and he was here for how long, Rick? Several years. And finally he said, look, by this date, I'm out of here. Okay? Well, you know, the folks here in the church had me come up and do a marriage seminar. And when I came up and did that, that's when some folks started talking and saying, you know, we're looking for a new minister, and we think you're the guy that ought to be here. And I said, I don't think so. I've got a church that I'm working at. And we've had some struggles there, and I'm trying to help this little church to grow and all that. And they said, yeah, but we think you're the guy. And I go, just keep on thinking, okay? And I went back home and didn't really give it a whole lot more thought. And then, you know, come after the first of the year, you know, some of these folks started calling me and saying, hey, you know, we're looking for this preacher now, and we think you're the guy. And I go, I don't think so. And I flat out told them, I'm not interested. I don't want to come there. I've got a work here that I'm doing. And we talked some more. And finally, I agreed just to come up and talk with them. And so they brought me up here, and we sat down and we talked. I sat down with Ray and Jerry and Bill, who were the elders at that time. And they said, you know, we really want you to be here. We think that you're the guy that needs to be here. And I said, well, you know, I don't want to be here. And they just weren't getting that message. See? And I told them this. I said, it's not that I have anything against this church, but I have a work going, and I really feel like that's where I need to be right now. And so I don't want to come here. But I told them this, and I said, but more than anything, what I don't want to do is not do what God wants me to do. And I said, so if God wants me to be here, then I will be here. Okay? Because to me, that's the most important thing. It's what does God want? And that's what we've been talking about. How do we find out what God's will is? You see, in these things. Was it God's will that I come here? I'm convinced with all my heart that it is because of how He spoke to me through the circumstances. These folks up here are really wanting me to be here, and they're convinced that I'm the person that they want there and they need there. Okay, that's fine. A lot of people think that way about things. It's what they want. But what does God want? And what I wanted on the other side was to stay where I was. My kids live there. All the folks that I knew were there. I didn't want to come up here and start all over again. Well, how am I going to find out? What is God's will? Does God want me here or does He want me to stay where I am? And that was the thing you got to try to figure out. So we prayed about it. We prayed about it. We prayed about it. We prayed about it. And then things that were going on there in the church where I was, that the opportunity to be able to continue to stay there was closing. It just wasn't working out. Okay? And more things happened, and financially they just could not afford to pay us. I was working a part-time job teaching school, you know, just to try to help make ends meet. And then they came and said, we're going to have to cut back on your salary more because we just can't keep paying you what we're paying you. They weren't paying me a whole lot to begin with. And all the time, the folks up here were saying, Russ, we really think you're the guy for here. And so as I looked at that circumstance that's there, that there's a door that's being opened here, and the door where I was being closed. Okay. And so that, at least in my understanding, says to me, this is where God wants me to be. When He's making it difficult for me to stay where I am, which is what I wanted to do, and He's making everything open to be where these other folks wanted to be, it became very apparent to me that the issue was, this is where God wanted me to be. And that's why I came here. Okay? Now, the reason that I'm telling you that is because, it's an example of when I talk about God speaking to us through our circumstances, I think that's how He does it. I can't explain it any more than that. Again, it's not a little angel, you know, Gabriel didn't come down and sit on my shoulder and go, Russ, I want you to go to Virginia. Didn't happen. And sometimes I kind of wish it would have made it a whole lot easier. But it doesn't happen that way. But as I'm open and I'm looking for what God is doing and I'm asking Him to show me through prayer, God, reveal to me what Your will is. And God uses circumstances in our lives to guide us and to put us where He wants us to be. Okay? And I'm convinced that that's one way that God speaks to us today. Through our circumstances and how God puts us where He wants us to be. And notice I keep emphasizing the He. Okay? Because that's what it's always got to be about. What does God want? Okay? Not what I want, not what someone else wants, but what does God want? And then you listen through your circumstances. Being led by the Spirit within you. Focusing on His Word. Because, you see, there's some things that we know. You know, we may hear, yeah, do this, and we know it's not right because His Word has told us it's not right. And we know His Word, and we know that's not, obviously, that's not what God wants. Because His Word tells me otherwise. You see, those are the ways I'm convinced that God speaks to us. Death in our life, so that we can know what it is that He wants us to do in His world on His behalf. So, what's God been saying to you lately? Are there some things going on in your life that perhaps, you know you shouldn't be involved in, you know you shouldn't be doing, because it's very plain in His Word, and He's already spoken about those things, that some of those behaviors that you may be involved in are against what God would have you do. And you need to get rid of those things. You need to listen to Him. Are there some things going on in your life where that spiritual battle is really heating up and it's going on intensely in your life, and Satan is pulling one way and God is fighting for you on behalf, fighting on your behalf? Is that happening with you right now, perhaps? That spiritual warfare that you might be in the middle of, that God is speaking to you through His Spirit, leading you where He wants you to be? Are there some circumstances in your life that have been going on that maybe, if you really look and you see, what is God trying to tell me about my circumstance or my situation, am I really listening to Him? You see, all of those things God uses to bring us where He wants us to be, but you have to be listening. So the question is this morning for you to think about, are you listening to God? Are you listening to what He's telling you through His Word, through His Spirit, and through the circumstances in your life? Maybe some things going on that maybe you don't understand. Maybe talking with someone can help a little bit with that. Maybe some things that you're struggling with that you need some help to overcome. And there may be somebody here this morning who's not yet a Christian. You've not given your life to Christ yet. And yet you sit here this morning knowing and believing that your sins are separating you from God. But the good news is, and this is a message from above, okay? This is right from His Word. You can be saved right now, today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life and repent of the sins that are separating you from God, call upon Him as Lord. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism and become His child today. That's what you need to do, and you're ready to make that commitment. We're going to stand and sing a song. Wes, if you'll come up and lead us. We're going to stand and sing this song and use it as an invitation. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to just go back and have a talk with him privately back there, and I'll be up here in the front to receive you. Let's stand together.